Thank you for that reading, Warren. I want to really focus in on a statement that's made there in verse 9 by Paul in that particular reading, Ephesians 3 and verse 9. And he says this, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ." I want to talk about that fellowship this morning. And I want to ask the question, are we in fellowship? And specifically, I want to ask the question, when we come together as we are right now, some of us in cyber place, some of us at the building, are we in fellowship? Or is it just those at the building because they are physically present there? Are they the only ones that are in fellowship and the rest of us are not because we're not physically at the building? Paul made mention of the fact there in Ephesians 3 and verse 9 that what he was writing about and what his apostleship was about and what his receiving of God's word was about was to make all men see what is the fellowship of those things that had been hidden before but now are made manifest. And I want us to think about this because there have been those that have called in question meeting in this particular way where some are in cyberspace and for a period of time all of us were in cyberspace. Were we really in fellowship? Were we really worshiping God or was it just playing church? And are some of us this morning just playing church or are we really all in fellowship? Does it require being physically together for there to be fellowship? And even when we are physically together, is there always fellowship? There's several things that I want to discuss in this particular lesson. I want you to think about because it has to do, really, with all of us and our spirituality before God. And so I want us to think about these things. First of all, let's go to Scripture and see what fellowship is. It comes from a Greek word, koineia. And Thayer defines that word, fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, intercourse. And it's the word that is used in Acts 2 and verse 42, which is going to be quite a bit of our lesson this morning as we go into this lesson. We'll be discussing Acts 2 and verse 42 in just a moment, even more deeply. But on the day of Pentecost, when the church first began, it says there in verse 42 that those believers were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. You notice that the definite article is before each of those. The teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. We understand that's the word that he used. We understand that they were physically together at that time. They didn't have Zoom 2,000 years ago. We all understand that. They were physically there, but was the physical presence, is that what it was being focused on by that congregation? Whenever the statement was made there by Luke, describing the condition at Jerusalem with that new congregation, that new church just came into existence, the one and only church that came into existence. Were they in the fellowship because they were physically present? We'll talk about that more in just a moment. We also see that this word means the share which one has in anything, the participation. And we see that in Acts 2 and verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And that word in common there is this word koineia. And there are two things that were mentioned there. First of all, they were together. And is that referring to the fact that they were physically together, which of course I understand and you understand without doubt they were physically together. Or was it talking about being more of one mind? And that they were then in fellowship or had all things common, the sharing together. Then we also see that another definition of this is intercourse, fellowship, or intimacy, which is used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Faithful is God through whom ye called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Can fellowship only be among Christians when they are physically present? Is that what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9? Then we look at another definition, 1b1 by Thayer, the right hand as a sign of pledge of fellowship. That is, in fulfilling the apostolic office, as in Galatians 2 and verse 9, when Paul was telling about how he had gone to Jerusalem and had met with James, Cephas, and John. He said, who were esteemed to be pillars. They offered the right hand of fellowship they gave to me and to Barnabas, that we to the nations or to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision may go. What was that only? Could that only be done, that right hand of fellowship, could it only be done because Paul was present with them at that time? Again, we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then this last set of definitions in connection with this word koinonia, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution, an exhibiting, an embodiment, and proof of fellowship. And we see Paul using that word in Philippians 4 and verse 15. And you, in talking to the Philippians, says, you have known, even you Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel, the good news, that is the beginning of Paul's preaching, when I went forth from Macedonia, no assembly did communicate with me in regard to giving and receiving except you only. The word communicate is used there, but it is also the word fellowship, as we see in the definition. Is, in all of these definitions, is the physical presence required for there to be fellowship? And then we also see another word. Forgive me. Metoke, in the Greek. A sharing, communion, fellowship. And this word is used one time in the New Testament by Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 14. And there he says to Christians, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what sharing, communion, or fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, and that is the same word there, fellowship, how does it have fellowship with light, hath light with darkness? What fellowship is there with light with darkness? What sharing is there in that? Is he saying that the only way to be idolaters is that you have to be physically present in the temple of an idol? Is that what he's saying there? Again, we'll talk about this in just a moment. And then we see one more word that is rendered fellowship in some versions. And that is the word soon koineo. It means to become a partaker together with others or to have fellowship with a thing. And Paul used this word in Philippians 4 and verse 14, howbeit ye did well that you had fellowship with my affliction. Does that mean that they had to be with Paul and be afflicted right beside him, and that is the only way that they could be partakers with Paul in fellowship of his suffering? Is that what that meant? Again, we'll discuss this a little bit more. I want you to think about all those definitions and whether or not they require personal face-to-face involvement. Acts 2 and verse 42, they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles and in fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. Is that the only way that it can be done? I understand, and you understand, that there was only one congregation in existence at this time, as 2,000 years ago, was in Jerusalem. I understand they were physically together. But we use this particular passage, and rightfully so, as a principle concerning our spirituality and our worship and our service unto God. And so when we take it that way and we look at it from that standpoint, are we this morning, some of us from our homes, some of us at the building, are we in fellowship together? Are we continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles? Did we do that this morning during the class? Are we doing that now? Are we in spiritual fellowship based upon our physical location? And let me ask you this. Wherever you think about the steadfast teaching of the apostles, that which was presented, that means there was those that were also involved in the understanding of the teaching of the apostles at that time. The way we would say it today, we are all to be involved in the teaching of God's word. Does that mean that in order to be involved in teaching of God's word, we have to physically be present? And not only that, I want you to look at the person that is sitting right next to you and tell me, are they listening to this sermon? Are they following along with it? Are they really involved in the teaching of God's word this morning, or is their mind somewhere else? You and I both understand you can't answer that because you don't know the mind of the other. Are you in fellowship with them? You don't know that, even though you might be sitting right next to them. You don't know that. It really comes down to an individual aspect, which we'll talk more about in just a little bit. That individual aspect of fellowship with God, fellowship hopefully with one another, because we are all involved now in learning from God's Word. But not only in the teaching of God's Word, but also in that fellowship, that oneness of mind. Are you in fellowship just with those at the building that are there? Are we that are in Cyber Place, are we only in fellowship just with those that are within this household? Or is this fellowship speaking of being of one mind? I believe that's what it's referring to. One mind and one purpose. And that is what was referred to in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 42. That is what is referred to in Acts 2 and verse 42. That being of one mind and one purpose in worship unto God. We'll be talking more about the breaking of bread when we remember the Lord's death here in just a little while. Will the only ones that are really doing that properly be the ones at the building because they are physically together? Or will we be in fellowship and in worship and spiritual service unto God, that remembrance, because we are all doing that spiritually? And again, I will ask you, whenever you partake of the Lord's Supper, a little bit later on, you that are there at the building, what is the mind of the one that is sitting right next to you as they partake of the Lord's Supper? Are you truly in fellowship with them? And again, as I said, we'll be talking about that more. And that we are here, we that are here at home, are we really partaking of the Lord in that proper way? Those of us that have others with us in our homes, are they of the right mind in doing so, remembering the Lord's death, making it the memorial that it is to be, proclaiming it by partaking the supper, and then also with the prayers, and the same thing. Again, we'll go into this a little bit further. Was it required in Acts 2 and verse 44 that those who had all things in fellowship or in common, would it be that they had to be physically present in order to do that? Someone might say, absolutely. Well, that was the case, certainly so there in Acts 2 and verse 44, but was it always the case for that fellowship of being together, even was it by those that were not present at a local congregation? We see in Acts 11 chapter, verses 28 and following, that the brethren of Antioch of Syria had fellowship in giving to the needy saints in Judea, even though they weren't physically present with them. We have means today of sending funds to those that are in need of our brethren without ever seeing them face to face. We can do that. Or does it require being face to face? I don't see that. I don't think that you do either, because there was even one man that was chosen from each congregation to deliver the relief to Jerusalem, as we see in 1 Corinthians 16, chapter verse 1 and 2, and as we find out, of course, in Acts 20 chapter, how there was representatives from each congregation, but the whole congregation wasn't there, but they were still having all things in common with those that were in need, even though they weren't physically there. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, faithful is God through whom you were called to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Does that require physical presence? Do you have to be inside a building for that to take place? Galatians 2 and verse 9, having made known the grace that is given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were esteemed, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. Does it require an actual shaking of hands to do that? As a matter of fact, does that even refer to the physical shaking of hands there? Or is it talking about they understood Paul's work to the Gentiles just as they were to the Jews? I think that's the understanding that would come from that. Philippians 4 and verse 15, the Philippians shared with Paul, communicated, had fellowship with him in the support of preaching the gospel. Does that mean that every member of the congregation was physically going along with him as he was preaching the gospel? No, they weren't anywhere near him. He was going throughout the world teaching God's word. We understand that. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Does that mean that we have to physically go into an idol's temple in order to involve ourselves in idolatry? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, one of the great idols of this world today is time, which we don't have to be present around anyone for in order to have it as our idol. And then Philippians 4 and verse 14, howbeit ye did well that if you have that ye had fellowship with my affliction. In other words, there were prayers that were going out for him even though they weren't physically present with him. So none of these that we've noticed from the definitions, and all of these passages use the definitions of the word that we looked at, none of these required physical face-to-face involvement. Not one of them. So I ask again, are we in fellowship this morning? Is personal face-to-face involvement required for there to be continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles? You notice that Paul says to the Colossians in the 4th chapter and verse 16, whenever this letter is read before you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also read the one from Laodicea. He wasn't physically present there. All the congregation from Colossae was not in Laodicea, neither was all the congregation from Laodicea in Colossae, but they were sharing the letters back and forth. But what they were involved in was the teaching of the apostles, God's word, through these inspired men. It had nothing to do with the physical aspect of it. Ephesians 3 and verse 4. Paul says, with reference to which, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ. Paul's not physically with us, but yet we are continuing steadfastly in the things that he taught 2,000 years later. And we're to be in fellowship with him in that teaching, in that understanding, because he gave it through God's word. And by, in being in fellowship with him, it puts us also in fellowship with God. And the same thing is true, Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That could be by letters. You know, every week I send letters out to brethren at the prison. And not only do I give greeting to them and tell them what is taking place with those that they know and also with the congregation here in Taylor, I can, for one stamp, put four pages in an envelope, and I do that. And that first page is just the greeting and asking how they are doing, and they are in our thoughts and what is going on with us, going on with brethren. And then the rest of it is I'm putting lessons in there. And I believe that I'm sharing with them God's word. And they write back to me, and they have questions, and they have comments and so forth, and they are sharing back with me. We are having fellowship, because we are continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles, even though we are hundreds of miles apart. And just as we are this morning, right now, there are some that are in Phoenix, Arizona. There are some that are down, excuse me, in Winnie, Texas, in Houston, Texas, in San Antonio, Texas. And if they are spiritual, they are continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles by these passages of Scripture in this lesson that's being presented. And if they are spiritual, they are in fellowship with us no matter their physical location. Let me just say this. I cannot wait, when the timing is right, for my situation to be back at the building once again. I want to be there. I understand the importance of being there. I understand that. But I am not deterred spiritually because of my physical absence from the building. And neither should anyone that is online be deterred spiritually in any way, even though they are physically not here. So I ask you this morning, are we in fellowship this morning concerning the teaching of the apostles, the teaching of God's word? You know, the answer to that is only you can answer that. It doesn't matter about your physical location. If you're thinking about something else right now, about what's going to happen, how long this sermon is going to be, about what you're going to do afterwards, you're not continuing steadfastly in the teaching of God's word. You're not in fellowship with the teaching of God's word this morning. But if you are, it doesn't matter your location. It doesn't matter. Is personal face-to-face involvement required for us really to be of one mind in the fellowship, Acts 2, verse 42b, the second part of verse 42, to be in spiritual fellowship with one another? Is that required? That I have to be sitting right beside you in order to be in fellowship? Well, notice what is stated by Paul in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, let me read that again, if any fellowship of the Spirit, let me read that again, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and act of compassion, fulfill you my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being united in the Spirit, intending the same purpose. There you have what is being described then as the fellowship of the Spirit there in verse 2. Being like-minded, same love, united in spirit, intending the same purpose. And he says, do nothing according to selfish ambition or conceit, but with humility regarding one another as being better than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only for your own concerns, but also for the concerns of others. Does that require being physically present with someone? Well, brother, I would really like to be concerned about your situation. Michelle said that she needs prayers over some very hard times that's coming up. Michelle, I wish we could do that for you, but we can't because you're not physically present with us. So good luck. You're on your own. Is that the way that we are to be? No. Absolutely not. So he says then, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And what he says there, I'm just going to paraphrase it, he was a servant to each and every one of us, and we are to be servants unto other, and we are to humble ourselves. And that's being in the fellowship. So I ask you, are the only ones that are in the fellowship this morning just at the building, or are we all in fellowship because we are of the same mind? And those that are at the building and those that are home, look over at the person that you're sitting beside and tell me, are they of the same mind right now for the purpose of being there? You can't do that. But you have a responsibility for yourself to be of one mind with the Lord and one mind with those that would follow Christ Jesus. So I ask, are we in fellowship this morning? Is personal face-to-face involvement required for Acts 2:42c, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread? We're going to be doing that here just shortly. And I want you to think about that, because there are those that say, yes, you have to be physically present in order to partake the Lord's Supper. Notice what Jesus said first of all. Matthew 26 and verse 29. This was after he instituted the supper, starting back in verse 26. And he took the bread and blessed it and gave thanks and said, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'll use part of 1 Corinthians 11 chapter because that is what was revealed to Paul. Verse 27, in like manner he took the cup also after supper saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. Then he says in verse 29, but I say to you that I will no longer by no means drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Is the only way that Jesus could drink it with us or commune with us, is the only way that he could do that was to be present upon the earth. If that is the case, we are never in communion with Christ Jesus. And not only that, but we also see the singular aspect in partaking of the Lord's Supper. That communion with the Lord is not required upon what my neighbor that is sitting beside me at the building or at home is doing. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now I will tell you, there is a prerequisite to us partaking of the Lord's Supper, and it is to be in an assembly. Are only those at the building in an assembly, or are we all together right now? Does it mean they have to be physically together? And does it mean also, as we look at this, that the only way to partake of the Lord's Supper properly is that we have to commune with one another? No, we're communing with the Lord. And you know, I might be thinking about a baseball game or something else. By the way, I don't watch baseball and I won't be watching football as long as they kneel. But if I wanted to do something else, maybe I'm thinking about that after services this morning. And I'm not really discerning the Lord's body and partaking of the Lord's Supper. I'm not thinking about His death. As we are told in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verses 23 through 25. Does that negate what my neighbor does, whether in the building or out of the building, because I'm not partaking of it properly? No. Because we are communing with the Lord. What we are to do, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, individually we proclaim the Lord's death. In other words, what we are saying is, I am cleansed from my sins by the death of Christ Jesus, by Him being the sacrifice for me. And whether in the building or out of the building, whether sitting beside somebody or not, when we are in this assembly, and we are in an assembly this morning, whether we are present there in the building or not, we can be in fellowship this morning with our Lord and be in this assembly, that setting that is required for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and be spiritually pleasing to the Lord. So I ask you this morning, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, will you be in fellowship this morning? Is personal face-to-face involvement required for Acts 2:42, the last part of that verse, the prayers? And Paul said this, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, on behalf of kings, of all those that are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and dignity, for this is good and acceptable before God. He's not talking about the place where the prayers are offered. He's talking about the type of prayers that we offer, the quality of the prayers that are to be offered by each and every one of us. Romans 15 and verse 30. Paul says, now I beg you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. Paul had never at this time set foot in Rome, but he is telling them to strive together with him in their prayers. He's talking about involvement even though they are separated by thousands of miles. But yet they could be in fellowship with one another in those prayers by what he writes. When we look at Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus says, whenever you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen of men. And surely I say to you, they that receive their reward, they receive their reward in full. I believe that I have seen, I know I have seen, some men offer prayers to be seen. I've seen that before. I've seen that before in congregations. I see where it is a standard prayer that they have memorized over the years, that I could almost say word for word right now because I heard it so many times as a kid growing up. And it never varied one ounce. It just became their mantra of prayer. And they did so with great eloquence, certainly so. And I'll tell you, if that was the only ability that they had, it was a prayer that was accepted. But if that was not the only ability that they had, they needed to go beyond and grow. But are the only prayers that count the ones that are offered in a assembly, physical assembly situation such as the building right now? We had someone lead prayer for us this morning. If they led prayer for us this morning and they were not at the building, would it be an acceptable prayer? Well, it would be if it was not for the purpose of making a show. And if it was for the purpose of giving thanks unto God and interceding and offering supplications and the wording of prayers on behalf of our brethren and those that we are concerned about. And so I ask you this morning, are we in fellowship this morning in connection with our prayers, because we're not all physically present? We should be. We better be. Is personal face-to-face involvement required for speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Is that required? Let me tell you, and I will be perfectly honest, I'm so glad that we have some at the building right now. It makes it easier for me because some are physically there and we can follow along with that singing. The elders had asked that the song leaders be at the building, and it is rightfully so, I think, in this situation. because it helps bring us all together in the songs. And we have a leader from the building, and that's a good thing, but it's not required. And the reason being is that the one that is sitting beside you there at the building or beside me here at the house may not be singing and making melody in their heart whatsoever. They just may be wanting to be heard for the beauty of their voice, or they are just mindlessly singing those words, which is a form of teaching, as we see in Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is a form of teaching, and we're to be involved in fellowship with that. But is my singing negated because one may not be singing in spirit and in truth? No. Matter of fact, each one of these that we've looked at is a personal involvement about what we do. Are we in fellowship this morning as we were singing the songs? Greg's done a great job this morning in singing the songs that were prepared for us. And Beverly and I come into the same room when we sing. And I know that there are some of you that don't have but one person in the room, and it doesn't matter, because you can be in that fellowship of singing praise unto God, whether you're physically present or not. Because it's not about the physical. Is personal face-to-face involvement required for 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the collection? And we're going to be taking up a collection here just shortly. And before we ever went to the building, you remember that the elders talked about the purposing of our giving on the first day of the week. It didn't matter whether we were physically present or not. That should have been done on the first day of the week. We purposed to do that. Let me say this about the collection also before we go on with this point. There are many of us that were raised by parents that were Christians. And if you remember back when you were little, you were given a quarter, a nickel, a penny, a dollar bill, whatever it may be, that you learned to put into the plate whenever the plate was passed there at the building where your parents were members. They were training you what to do. And now that you have left your parents and you have jobs and you are on your own and you prosper, and giving is for those that prosper during the week, you are expected to give. And does it matter that it's there at the building? Can the purpose be on the first day of the week to lay by in store that which is required of you as you are prospered? That is the point. And here's the reason why in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give just as he decides in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you have a job, if you have income coming in, you are expected to give. And if you don't give at the building and you don't purpose it, whether you're sitting at home right now, you're not involved in true worship before God. You are not spiritual in that aspect. I don't know how the collections have been going. I'm not involved in that. And I'm thankful that I'm not. But I'll tell you, those of us that are Christians, I don't care if you are young men, young women, old men or old women, if you prosper, you are to give. It's not just for some of the older set, but rather it's for each and every Christian. So I asked this morning, are we in fellowship in our giving? It doesn't matter about the place, that's only incidental. Let's recognize what true worship is. When we look in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul says there, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. You have obeyed from the heart. One more time. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. How did you become the servants of righteousness? By obeying from the heart. Well, the only way I can obey from the heart is if I'm sitting in a church building that has Church of Christ on the outside of it. Is that correct? I promise you that's where I want to be. And I pray that we can do that very soon, and each and every one of us can, given our individual circumstances. I want to be back. But is that the only way that I can spiritually worship the Lord, is to be there? No. I can be of one mind with everyone that is there that is seeking to be of one mind with the Lord. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 7, Paul says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers." Is that why you're at the building? I want people to see I'm going to church. Are we there to just make a show? But are we there doing the will of God from the heart, the last part of verse 6 there in Ephesians 6? I know he's talking about what we can apply to his jobs, but there's a broader principle here. You see, we are and should be in fellowship. Each one that is spiritual this morning can be in fellowship no matter our physical location. We can do that. We can be spiritual. We can be in fellowship. And it may be that there are those that are present at the building or at home that have not listened to any of this, that have not looked into the teaching of the Scriptures throughout this lesson, that might be sitting right beside us and not be in fellowship whatsoever because it's not dependent upon a location. I ask you, do you desire to be in fellowship this morning? When we look in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7, John says there, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Well, surely that's just talking about those that are atheists, those that don't believe God's will, those that follow some religion of men and so forth. No, it would apply to those that are walking in darkness because they are spiritually not worshiping God and in fellowship with him nor their brethren of one mind in doing his will, no matter the location that they are at. But then John says in verse 7, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." We can be in fellowship with God, and it's not place dependent. We can be in true spiritual fellowship with our brethren. In 1 John 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." I'm going to ask you, are you in fellowship with me this morning in the presentation of this lesson? Or is it that all he's doing is just making a sound because he's not physically present here? These scriptures don't mean a thing because he didn't physically stand here and read the scriptures. He's miles away, 4.5 miles exactly from the building, by the way, is where we live. If he was here, well, then I would listen, but he's not here because he's not present, and so these words mean nothing. Is that the case? No. We can be spiritually in fellowship with spiritual brethren that declare and take part of, take share in the fellowship with the Father and with their brethren, not dependent upon the place. I ask you, if you're not a child of God, this morning, will you respond to the gospel? And that gospel is this, that by faith you will hear God's word and you'll believe what he says. Romans 10 and verse 17, Romans 4 and verse 3. Will you then also understand that if you're not living the life that you should, if you're not looking to Christ Jesus as your Savior, that you need to make repentance and turn to God? That repentance means to change your mind and to turn toward God. Will you do that this morning? Will you say, I'm not any longer going to live that life separate from God. I'm going to live for God. Will you make a commitment this morning and name the name of Christ just like the Ethiopian nobleman did and just like Kenneth Barker did on Thursday. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And God bless him for that, and God bless the Ethiopian nobleman and all that will do that. It's a commitment saying I'm going to set my life to serve the Lord from this point forward. And then will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Not as a show, not as a ceremony, but for the forgiveness of your sins, to wash away your sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and for your salvation, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Will you do that this morning? And yes, that's to be done physically. And yes, there will be someone at the building to do that. Absolutely. But then you enter into that spiritual fellowship, not only with God, but also with brethren, if you will do that. If you have already done that, let me ask you, did you worship in fellowship and in spirit this morning? Did it require seeing somebody else? If it did, you're not looking unto the Lord. Did it require being present with other people? If it did, there's something about your spirituality that needs to grow. And I understand the importance of being together. I truly understand that. But there have been those that said the only way that I can worship God is if I'm present at a building with other people. No, that's not so. Because even when you're there, you don't know the minds of others. And so that is the reason that the physical is only incidental, even when we are all gathered at the building. How's your spirituality? How's your fellowship this morning? Maybe you recognize a weakness. Maybe you require or will ask the prayers of the saints on your behalf for your growth. Maybe you've committed sin. John tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be forgiven. And we can return back into the fellowship with God and also to the fellowship with brethren. For those of us that are not present, here you have the names and the numbers of those, especially the shepherds, Daryl Glover and Greg Stroud. If you're not present, give them a call. Tell them you'd either like to become a child of God if you're not, or you require the prayers of the saints. Those of you at the building, there are those that are ready to do exactly the same thing for you. And the reason being is that we are all of one mind. We are in fellowship, and we are spiritually together. Let us always praise our God in that way. Let us always worship our God that way, and not just on Sunday morning nor on Wednesday, but each and every day of our lives throughout the week. Let us be in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with our brethren. Let us always be spiritual. At this time, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Come today. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee, calling now for thee. Weary prodigal, come, weary prodigal, come.